Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
So today I was dealing with some friends it's church right day, and they were talking about masks and how important they think they are and these sorts of things. Now,
what church do you go to? Because the people I hang out with around here are totally anti-mask.
A Quaker meeting.
Oh, okay.
And I can understand why people who would be in the geriatric quadrant might be concerned with, the infection, right? And we are certainly told that masks are great things. And I'm not saying they're not, but I am. Okay.
Do you wear your mask to protect those geriatric friends of yours at the church?
Wear my mask because somebody's asked me to. Here we go. Centers for Disease Control, this is from The Federalist, Jordan Davidson reporting. A Center for Disease Control report released on in September shows, so this is September, not too long ago, that masks and face coverings are not effective in preventing the spread of COVID-19, even for those who consistently wear them. A study, there's a hell of a sentence.
Oh, is that why we were wearing these?
Where was he in March?
To be effective in stopping the spread of COVID-19.
Back in March, you weren't supposed to have a mask. You were supposed to take your masks to the hospital and give it to them. In addition, over 14% of the case patients said they often wore face coverings and were still infected with the virus. The study also demonstrates that under 4% of the case patients became sick with the virus, even though they never wore a face covering. Let me read that one more time. The study also demonstrates that under 4% of the case patients became sick with the virus, even though they never wore a face mask or face covering. So apparently wearing a face covering doesn't protect you pretty much at all.
So wearing it always, 70%.
Yeah.
Wearing it never, 4%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mask freedom declared victorious.
And that's the thing. They say you wear your mask to protect me. I wear my human face so that your parasympathetic nervous system can heal your organs so that when you are, you can't avoid viruses and bacteria. That's life.
Stress is a killer, and people not being able to see people's faces and all the other things that are going on in 2020. I mean, let's just stop this. If we're worried about stress, let's stop the presidential election because I'm sick of it. I mean, like, seriously, so sick of it. And I know we're going to get calls, and that's fine. I would never tell anybody 2 weeks before, a presidential election, nearly 2 weeks, that they couldn't call in about this particular topic. But, man, I am so sick of people trying to convince me which crooked old pervert I should vote for.
The biggest threat of violence that I've been hearing from groups is that if Joe Biden doesn't win, then the violence is going to continue.
But if the violence is...
They don't want Donald Trump, and they're going to keep burning cities and everything else.
I kind of feel that way, too, right? Like, if you want violence, vote for Trump, because Biden, it's the Biden supporters that are going to rise up. However, so far, mostly they generally stay in districts that vote Democrat and set their own buildings on fire, which doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Sure. Because who is it out there that has, who is it there that has the largest percentage of the population, their group, that is ex-military, police, firearms owners, hunters, people who can actually do something if they start stomping all over you, just like you mentioned, like rural New Hampshire, rural Vermont.
It isn't going to go well.
Just about half, three quarters of the land west of the Mississippi. I've been saying for a decade that if the big one hit California and it floated off and became another island, we could literally split the country down the Mississippi and let the conservatives take over the west and liberals can have the east.
You're going to have a response from the right if the left riots. I grew up in New York, and there is a very big move on Long Island for Trump, and it's pretty amazing to see the turnout, the parades they have, and everything on Long Island. That's not far out of this city. It's 40 minutes from Brooklyn.
Yeah,
where I live. So you have the potential to see some really big problems. Look at the the right, the conservatives that are raising up in Michigan and stuff. I mean, even in some of your liberal cities, you're seeing people stand up and begin to say, look, we're not going to be silent anymore. And we're going to say, this is what we need. This, we need police. We need, law and order. We need things taken care of. The problem will be, and you know, you're saying it's not going to be a riot if Joe Biden is elected. I think there'll be riots if Joe Biden's elected as well.
Will it be coming from the left, though, and Antifa?
Yeah, coming from the left. Okay. But you'll see a response from the right if need be. Now, that's going to be a terrible thing. You don't want that, because then you end up with the possibility of martial law being put in place. And then you go down the road of confiscation of firearms and all that stuff. I hope it never gets to that. I really do.
So,
I mean, I listen to the conspiracy guys saying it's going to go terrible.
Well, isn't that the purpose of the Second Amendment, though? I mean,
if
some group of Americans rise up against another group of Americans, the idea is that you be able to have a gun to protect yourself. I mean, you know, this was.
Don't get me wrong. I totally agree with that. I was a minority when I went to school because I was conservative.
ACB, she could answer a question, says, I'm pro-life.
Okay.
And just answer the question, right? Like, as opposed to, you know, dodging things. And there, she's getting asked a lot of silly things. There's no doubt about it. But the strategically, at this point, the only people she's talking to is the American people.
Well, I mean, there are certain things that are emotional triggers for people of different political persuasions.
Yes.
And the possibility of reversing Roe v. Wade,
yep,
is a huge emotional trigger.
Even
for
though it's
people
pretty bad
on the political
law.
Left.
It's, you know, it's not good law. Whether you support it or not, it's difficult to support Roe v. Wade from the standpoint of law. It was just sort of a, you know, another patchwork.
Well,
remember, we don't have a government at the federal level, or we, you know, the federal government is not a state. It is not an organization that has a supremacy over the states. The states are supreme, and therefore they should be making these choices.
Do you mean
for better or for worse?
Well, it de facto is.
Go ahead.
De jure,
yes,
it is,
yes,
not. Like, on paper, there is no federal state, but as far as what actually happens, there sure is.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the problem.
I think the weirdest part about the confirmation hearings is what came out when she goes like, I'm going to interpret the law based on the way the Constitution was written. And then everyone gets up in arms like, you can't do that.
I recently did an interview, guys, on a movement called Keep9.org. So you can go there, check it out online. I'll tell you what it is. So it's Keep9, meaning keep nine justices of the Supreme Court. And
because nine's the magical number.
Nine's the magical number. There were six to start with, just so you know.
According to the ancient Norse, yes.
Okay.
Christians prefer seven.
That's a fact.
Seven elevens, seven dwarves, seven little chipmunks sitting on a fence.
Or three.
Three is
the Holy
yes,
Trinity.
Is a holy number. Seven is a good number or something. So the idea is that they keep nine justices. And I think that the vast majority of Americans would like this idea and be surprised that the number of justices is not written down someplace.
So which is why the whole court packing thing is such a big deal all of a sudden.
Right. Well, it was a big deal under FDR, too, and it was a threat.
Okay.
And I think now, personally, I truly, truly believe this is just a threat.
Okay.
That the Democrats will not commit this level of suicide. I mean, this would really be bad.
Would it, though? Is it because if he packs the court, then they have it. And then they
have the, what?
The court, the Supreme Court.
They have lost credibility at that point. The Supreme Court building is by far the newest building. The Capitol versus the White House. I mean, they burned the White House down in the War of 1812. I mean, it's an old building. And whereas the Supreme Court building is like from the 50s or something. And it has room currently. It's built for, wait for it, nine justices. So,
and we wouldn't want taxpayer dollars spent on remodeling the chairs and the desk.
Well, not just the chairs and the desk, the offices, yeah, the huge, whatever, gigantic law libraries. Each of these people have their, I mean, basically, it's
why we
offices.
Might spend enough for one entire bomb.
Right. Depends on the bomb. You'd spend a lot. Remember, government projects never go
the
way you
never underestimate the ability of the government to overspend.
Look, certainly nine bombs.
And when you say that the building is like the newest and it's 70 years old,
yeah,
probably due for a remodel soon anyway.
It's probably going to get remodeled, but it's at least you're remodeling in place.
Okay. Yeah, I'm against you on this one. I think that they absolutely should pack the courts, because the more they pack the courts, the less faith people have in the absolutely broken judicial system that we have.
Yeah.
And
the judicial
that just
system
brings...
is by far the most respected of the three branches.
It is, and it has
Congress
done
is lower than
nothing.
Cockroaches.
It has done nothing to deserve the respect that it has.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
The Constitution isn't, it wasn't handed down by God to George Washington on Mount Vernon. I get that part. And obviously libertarians have their issues with it. And what is the Lysander Spooner quote, that it either the Constitution has authorized all of the bad things that have happened throughout history, or it has been powerless to prevent them. And either way, it should be ignored.
Unfit to exist.
However, if it suddenly became adhered to and became, and that had good results, then it would only do good things for the document. I mean, at this point, people can say pretty clearly the Constitution is not followed.
I like constitutionalists. We agree in a direction. We may disagree at the distance, but that distance is far enough away that I don't need to worry about it.
Indeed.
And if you want it to be followed, you're going to have an appellate Supreme Court willing to base their judgments on how it was written.
Indeed. I mean, that's how you, right? Instead of just what, I remember Kennedy, who was, recently considered the swing vote. He's now stepped down, but he, at one point in the relatively recent past, in the last few years or whatever, he said something to the effect of regarding gay marriage. The American people's opinion has changed. What difference does that make?
There is never a question of everyone following federal laws and paying their federal taxes. When the nature of an agreement is, I will do this, you will do that. And we make these contracts. Now, personally, I don't think that it's a valid contract because I never actually agreed to the Constitution for the United States. But, okay, lots of people do. But the nature of a contract is that if I break my half, you get to break your half.
Yeah.
And they have absolutely violated every concession that they made in that contract. So it's astonishing to me that it's still considered that I have to hold my side of this contract.
Right. They don't even have to clarify. Right. Like, all you have to do is read the first two amendments, and these shall not be infringed, and Congress shall make no law.
Right. Seems pretty clear the way it's written. It's hard to misinterpret that.
It's clear as it could possibly be. And then they go and say, yeah, well, you know, shall not be infringed. This, you know, this is an infringement and that isn't an infringement. Whatever. It's crazy. The justifications for what they do is insane.
Congressional Democrats introduced new legislation on Wednesday that would make reducing racial inequality in the U.S. economy an official part of the Federal Reserve's mission. The Federal Reserve Racial and Economic Equity Act requires the central bank to take action, quote, to minimize and eliminate racial disparities in employment, wages, wealth, and access to affordable credit, unquote.
So more risky loans.
How in the world could the Federal Reserve determine whether or not it affect businesses and their hiring practices as far as racial equity? And what would that look like? So is racial equity like, the U.S. population of racial minorities? Is it the state population of racial minorities? It is the local? Is it the county or the city? I mean, I don't even know.
As many black-owned businesses as there are white-owned businesses.
Yeah, that's...
And if there aren't as many black-owned businesses, you give them loans to start them.
Let's just start them.
Start them.
That is a
very good question, especially using the word equity, because equity has a range of different definitions, all the way from, like... just fairness. Like I was talking earlier about how there's this idea of we have a contract, and if I fulfill my half, you have to fulfill your half. That is a kind of equity. These days, it's very common for that to be sort of a code word for equality of circumstance. Well, obviously, we have done nothing to solve the racial disparities, and the Federal Reserve is our Superman that can handle the problem.
I kind of feel like if you wanted to go after racial, and I'm not going to say there's not some kind of racial disparities in the United States, but if you go after them, it should be on the local policing level. Like, that's where the rubber hits the road.
So you want to defund the police?
I don't want to defund them as much as I, well, I mean, yes, I do want to defund the police. I want to, however, remove sovereign immunity or qualified immunity. The qualified immunity gives a police officer the ability, unlike pretty much everybody else in any other job description, the ability to hide their responsibility for something.
But they need that qualified immunity to carry out their daily duties effectively, Mark.
Expect people who are robbed of their responsibility to act irresponsibly.
Fair.
I mean, yeah, every time.
I definitely think that the policing is one of the things that's keeping those neighborhoods unstable.
Right.
And it's not the only thing. I definitely agree with Barack Obama on the importance of fathers staying in the families. And if you look at the statistics, that is an enormous change if you have a two-parent household.
One of the reasons is, the federal government's intrusion into the families in general. And one might suggest that it was on purpose. I don't know. Maybe.
Conspiracy theories.
It's a possibility. The government wants you to be able to borrow more money.
Sure.
Really? Is that a good idea? I mean,
do it with impunity.
To me, we spent, in my family, we spent a good portion of, I guess it was probably 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, somewhere in there. I can't remember exactly, but it was about 3 years where we just worked really hard to get rid of every single debt we had. And life is a lot better at that point. You pay that mortgage off finally. We didn't actually have a mortgage. We had put the building of the house on credit cards. But whatever. You pay that off, it's a good feeling.
But you're so much harder to control that way.
That's what I think it's all about, is that...
That's what this comes down to. It's not a matter of trying to change things for racial groups. That has nothing to do with what they're trying to do here. What they're doing is they're going, hey, not everyone is getting in as much debt as we want them to get in.
Right.
What is a way that we can look like heroes and put people in more debt, which generates more money, which generates more tax revenue, all of which gives us more power?
Under the guise of racial equality.
Exactly.
The bankers and the government, but I repeat myself, want you in debt. And it's the truth. You know,
that's a fact.
And the borrower is the servant of the lender, and the lender at this point is always the government.
Always.
So the way that you can be a little freer is paying off whatever debt you have.
Our Constitution is based upon English common law, correct?
Yes.
It is.
Pretty much.
Allegedly.
Right. No, it is.
Oh, it's so, based on it.
The Irish have been abused by the English since 1338, enslaved, stole Shanghai, made to work captive on their ships and such.
That's all right? Accurate.
Our land
press gang.
Sold. Our people have been impoverished. Now, I think we should have a leprechaun dollar. We're three times as much as the English dollar that's spent by the average colonial here in the States.
Backed by the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow?
Yes, yes, yes. And the black man and the red man's dollar should be worth twice as much, too, because they've been in this hoorah.
So then we just move the hands out of what the formerly English? What about Irishmen like me? So I am ethnically mostly Irish, but I have an English last name. What do we do with guys like me?
You're a traitor.
Hey, I was adopted.
String him up for treason.
Nobody told me I was going to be an alcoholic.
Dare you get adopted by the English.
No, I was adopted by a German, so he can shoot me twice.
The Germans did great things in this country.
But they're the working class, not the ruling class.
This is one of the problems with this, any form of reparations. I suspect that's what you're trying to get across to me here.
The Federal Reserve isn't going to analyze the situation of an individual and say, okay, well, you are actually being treated unfairly because of the color of your skin. That's not what they're going to do. They don't have that kind of time and resources, even if they were motivated to do that. Now, what you can do is have charities that will go, okay, this individual will benefit from this being done, whether it's giving them a house or giving them a job training or whatever it is to get them on the right track. They can go, okay, well, this individual will actually make use of these resources. This individual will not make as good of use of those, so we're going to save that one until later.
Do we not already have charities that specialize in helping homeless people?
They exist.
We have government programs. My wife worked for one. So there's something called vocational rehabilitation, right? They determine, do you need eyeglasses, a cane, some kind of training or whatever in order to get back in the workplace, right? And, you know, these programs are as good as the bureaucrats who sit in the seats. And the bureaucrats who sit in the seats tend not to be that great.
From my research, the difference between what gets actually spent on anything good in a private institution is 80%, and in a government institution is 20%.
I have worn my full compliance mask into a bank.
Yes.
But you used to think that they did something for you as far as the COVID.
Well, I think that what I probably would have said is that the masks are for other people, like protecting other people as opposed to protecting you, that maybe they do something. I don't know. Mostly what I do with my mask now is that I keep it in my pocket and I forget to put it on. And
where it
mostly
absorbs his leg sweat all day long.
Oh, yeah. This mask is old. I mean, it's fraying.
Leave it alone.
Take a look at this. No. This is an N95 mask. It's been sitting in my back pocket for, it's got to be 4 weeks now. I've taken the time to draw a smiley face on it.
Wow.
I mean, what is this thing doing? Let's be serious, folks. This encrusted, German-crusted thing.
Obviously, the government needs to mandate the drawing of smiley faces on all masks for the sake of our immune systems.
Yeah, I mean,
well, anyway.
Yeah, so basically what I'm doing is I'm waiting until somebody tells me to put a mask on. Then I will, because, look, you know, whatever your level of comfort is, if it took... So if I some friends of mine want to come over to my house, but they're only comfortable if they can be a certain distance away, they're older, and I wear a mask.
So anyway, wait, hold on,
Gene, before you go on, I am willing to accommodate them because I want to see them. If we're talking about the term anarchy, the way academics use the term anarchy, fine. If we're talking about the way that libertarians use it, okay. I think the vast majority of people use the term to describe Molotov cocktail throwing lunatics who want to institute their version of government. And
we have a new term
to
for that now, Mark. It's called Antifa.
Yeah, right. Fine. Yeah. But, you know, for me, I don't particularly like the term and won't use it for myself. And I am looking for steps that I can take today. If there was a switch that suddenly would just made the government go away, I don't think we'd be better off by throwing it. I think that that we have a nation and a world full of people that are held in check at this point by threats of violence against their person by an organization that is more powerful. And that if you just somehow get rid of that organization, that they haven't got the coping skills to be able to manage in a world that way. So, you know, hopefully the people that do have coping skills can wipe them out in a civil war, in a global war unlike we've ever seen. But I don't think that'll work.
So what I'm trying to say is that I think that the better definition or the better thing, the better principle behind anarchy is self-ownership.
One thing I haven't heard a while from numerous talk shows is one thing I always hear from Trump is how he supports the troop.
Uh-huh.
I'm a 21-year veteran. And
does that mean you're still in the military or you were in the military for 21 years?
I was. I've been retired for 5.5 years.
All right.
So one thing that I keep hearing from Trump is how he supports us.
Yep.
But one thing I'm not hearing from Biden, Harris, you know, the left, is that they want to do all these cuts and raise our taxes. But what I'm not hearing is, what are they going to do for us, and how are their actions, say if they were to get elected, what actions are they imposing on us that could hurt us, as in VA benefits as well as our pension, since they want to cut everything? Because I'm on a fixed income, and it just scares me to death, because I haven't heard any other caller call in that's a veteran saying, hey, I'm worried about this, I'm worried about that, being a veteran. But what are they? What could they impose on us that could really hurt us from our income, since we're on a fixed income? And how is it coming from, you know, it's coming from the VA and our pension? I know it's all from the DOD, Department of Defense, you know, when they pass their budget. But what could they really do to hurt us?
I don't think VA benefits go through the DOD. I could be wrong on that, but I think that they're a separate
line. Maybe I'm wrong as well, too.
If you look at what happened to the Fed in 1977, that they did the exact same thing.
Uh-huh.
They did this exact same thing. I mean,
and this is
not exactly in the same way. What they had done at the time was they were specifically concerned about racial equality in housing.
Okay.
So they told the Fed, you need to get these numbers up. You need to get the number of home loans that are offered to African Americans to be the same as the number that are, you know, percentage wise
proportionally.
Yes, that is offered to Caucasians. And what they had to do in order to do that was to greenlight a lot of things in the local branches of the banks. That basically said, okay, well, you cannot judge these two by the same standard, because you, as the local banks, have to have a higher proportion of dark-skinned debtors.
Right. Well, one thing I'll say is that you know, systematically, black banks have been run out of business in the United States, and that has had negative consequences. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the actual solution is to have some amount of competition.
I consider the use of cuss words to be an indication that you're filling space, don't know what to say, you know, a variety of things. So,
instead of ums and ahs,
right,
it's Tourette's.
Yeah, effing.
You know? Well, I think it's useful to know when people have moved from their speaking brain into their lizard brain, because there is actually a different part of the brain that is not your speech centers at all. It is a much deeper, more primitive part that uses cuss words.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah.
It's essentially the equivalent to a chimpanzee letting everyone know that there is a predator here.
Yeah, I was thinking, I was hearing, they were talking about, I was listening to Sapiens, which is a relatively new book, was a New York Times bestseller. I'm listening to it through Audible. And I think our coupon code there is probably still good, FTL.
Give it a shot. Why well, not?
Whatever. And they were talking about green monkeys. In fact, green monkeys have their own language, and it's a, you know, they have a word for look out, it's an eagle. And a word for look out, it's a lion. And when you and they can
different
test
strategies
this,
to survive.
Right. You can test this by simply getting green monkeys in some, you know, cage or area and play the one noise and they all look up for the eagle. Play the other noise and they all run up a tree to avoid the lion.
Interesting.
So there you go. And by the way, they have lots of green monkeys on St. Kitts, perhaps Nevis. I don't know for sure whether they're on Nevis or not, because they were released there to, I don't know, deal with the rats, maybe. Some creature they were trying to get rid of. This is always a bad idea, ladies and gentlemen.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.